Rolene Marks, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Boker Tov. I'm very curious, Howard. I need to know what the song was that is causing such opinion.
All right. So this one was Anya Bookstein with Dofek, obviously meaning pulse. Is it popular in Israel? Have you heard it played a lot?
I have heard it played a lot. I mean, you know, one thing I have to say about Israeli radio stations, when they get their claws in a song, it gets played a lot. But I'm pretty much on the fence with that one.
Yeah, I kind of feel that as well. Like, it's nice, but it's just didn't do anything for me. But a lot of our people absolutely really loved it, and others absolutely hated it. So it's quite interesting. All right, so a terribly difficult situation, horrible situation this week in Germany on Yom Kippur. We're obviously reporting extensively on that story, and that is when a gunman opened fire, tried to breach the doors of a shul, of a synagogue in Halle in Germany, and thankfully couldn't get in, but he did manage to kill two people. What are the latest developments on the story?
Okay, so the latest developments on the story is that the president of Germany has met with leaders of the German Jewish community. And as you can well imagine, the community, not just of Halle, but all around Germany, are very, very angry and very, very concerned. You know, I think it was last week there was an op-ed in the Times of Israel that said Berlin is now the new capital of anti-Semitism in Europe. And not a day or a week goes by without some kind of incident. And what also concerns a lot of us in Israel, just before the shooting, were comments from the German government saying that Iran's swearing to eliminate the state of Israel wasn't anti-Semitic. And a lot of people saying, you know, perhaps the German government, before standing in solidarity and attending vigils, and there have been many across the country, before they do that, they might want to backstep and consider some of their rhetoric of late, not blaming it on them, but having a look at this kind of rhetoric, and also bringing to the fore now that anti-Zionism or anti-Israelism actually is anti-Semitism. And in his online manifesto, which apparently was still online as of late last night, Howard, which is hugely concerning, the perpetrator, and I won't give his name because I will not add to the notoriety that he wants, he blamed Jews for the influx of immigration into the country. He blamed all the ills of the world. He even blamed gender equality and feminism on Jews.
What was that? I mean, really? I should come to a synagogue, to a shul on Simchat Torah, and on the other side of the division between men and women, you'll hear the women complaining about the lack of equality. So really, he's blaming Jews on feminism and inequality? Look, we'll take it. We don't mind, but I don't think we're the most deserving group.
But it goes back to that old stereotype of blaming all the Jews for all the ills in the world. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I didn't know that gender equality was actually
one of our things,
an ill of the world.
But oh, yes, that's the other thing. Mm-hmm.
But this goes to show that the kind of person that we are talking about, and the German media are calling him a neo-Nazi. And it's actually very interesting. I saw a poll on Twitter yesterday. What would you call him? Would you call him a neo-Nazi? Would you call him a right-wing extremist, a white supremacist, or alt-right? I mean, to me, all of those things are kind of one and the same thing, unless, you know, it's just me, Howard. I mean, I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet, so I don't know, you know, the new nuances between the differences. But he has been taken to the Federal Supreme Court, where he will be charged with murder. But the community are angry. The community are demanding.
Well, you know, it was less than a week ago. I think it was last week, Shabbat. So 6 days ago, where somebody tried to get into a shul, into a synagogue in Berlin with a knife, and, you know, to perpetuate a terror attack, to perpetrate a terror attack. So, you know, we're certainly starting to see this. And there was no, it was there. People spoke about it, but it wasn't really on the national agenda. And then 4 days later or 5 days later, somebody tries to mow down an extensive number of Jews. I mean, Jews in Shul, I mean, we know the stories of the Holocaust, where Jews were locked into a shul and burnt alive and murdered. It is horrific that this has come back.
And in Germany, of all places, I mean, we've seen this in the United States, and there were attempts over the High Holy Days in various parts of the United States to try and infiltrate various synagogues. I'm scared to say this, but I don't know what else needs to happen for the world's attention to come on this. And I know that there were some news services who covered the story extensively, and many others who just kind of, you know, let it fall by the wayside. Jewish lives aren't as valuable as others.
I do have to give credit to News24. They did cover the story quite extensively yesterday. It was a headline on their news, on the world news, and I was contacted by them a little bit later in the day as well to write an op-ed. So at least we know that it is getting some attention.
But this brings back very, very, very painful memories of the Shoah, especially that it took place in Germany, and especially that he came armed with bombs, with grenades, with handmade weapons. We can only say, you know, thank you, in Hebrew would say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for protecting the people of the synagogue, because I don't want to think of what could have happened had he managed to breach the doors. And then he threw one of his grenades into the nearby cemetery. There's no reports that it went off. And again, you know, just the hand of Hashem protecting these Jewish installations. But we can't forget that two people paid with their lives, a 20-year-old young decorator and a 40-year-old, as she's described, as a music lover. They paid with their lives for being horribly in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it has many Jews questioning, is there a place for them in Germany? And the Simon Wiesenthal Center yesterday weighing in on this and saying that, you know, this is as we approach the anniversary of Kristallnacht, which is on the 9th of November, where we remember that this was a precursor to the Shoah, to the Holocaust, where synagogues were destroyed, where Jewish businesses were destroyed, where Jewish men were rounded up and they started the deportations to concentration camps. You know, and I don't want to say we are at that level yet, but it certainly raised a level of concern that, you know, the Shoah did not start with gas chambers. It started with words, and it started with actions like this, and it started where people stood by and did nothing.
Absolutely. It's very, very frightening. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. And of course, the danger around these types of incidents is copycat attacks as well. And that is something that the CSO here in the studio have warned us of very, very frequently. It's something that we do need to be aware of. All right, Roline, moving across back to the Middle East. I'm very perplexed and perturbed around what's going on with the Kurdish situation, Syria attacking. What is going on, and how is Israel involved in this?
Okay, so let's take a few steps back, and the Turkish president Erdogan, I mean, here we have the proverbial pot, Howard, who has criticized Israel in at every conceivable opportunity, but he has launched Operation Peace Spring. I mean, I don't see how this is anywhere related to peace, but Turkish Air Force has been firing on various Kurdish installations, including, and I must just put this out there, a civilian convoy. I mean, the amount of civilians that have been killed so far is astounding, and we're waiting, of course, for the UN Security Council to have an emergency session. I'm waiting for the marches around the world and the global condemnation, which we should be hearing. But what is extremely worrying, you know, for me, is the position of the United States on this. You know, several years ago, there was a lot of criticism against the Obama administration for not doing anything in Syria, and we applauded President Trump, you know, for bombing various chemical weapons installations across Syria. We thought, you know, this is the United States coming back to be the great policeman of the world. But what has astounded many of us, myself included, is the United States pulling out of Syria, not coming to the aid of the Kurds, and the most bizarre rationale by President Trump, saying that the Kurds did not help us in Normandy. I mean, this is, I'm astounded, and I have to say, and I'm sure that there are listeners who may or may not agree with me, I'm appalled by that statement, and it's left the Kurdish people, who are without a state, you know, no great movements on their behalf, Howard, but it's left them stateless, and it's left them extremely, extremely vulnerable. But what I am extremely proud, extremely is the word of the day, guys.
It's a good word.
Proud to say is that we have a whole contingent of IDF reservists who petitioned Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, saying that it is our duty as the IDF, it is our duty as Jews. I mean, we've just spoken about rising anti-Semitism with allusions to the Shoah, to the Holocaust, and these defenders of Israel have said that, you know, it's part of our historical makeup. We cannot forget what happened to us, and therefore it is incumbent on us to be there for the Kurdish people, and petitioned the government, who have agreed, and Prime Minister Netanyahu announced yesterday that Israel will be sending humanitarian assistance to the Kurdish people and our IDF humanitarian arm to assist the Kurdish people with whatever they may need. And I'm very, very proud of that. I'm very, very proud of the morals and the ethics of the IDF in coming to the assistance of the Kurdish people.
Yeah, terrible situation. Does anybody really know what prompted Donald Trump to do this? It just seemed so, and he did know what was going to happen. He, in that famous tweet where he says something about in his wisdom, Zanati, what did he say in his,
in his great and unmatched wisdom.
In his great and unmatched wisdom, that if he considers that Turkey will do anything unnecessary to harm the Kurds, he will impose an incredible amount of sanctions on them. So he knew that this was going to happen. And he seemed to have almost given them a license to do it, although he warned them. It just doesn't make any sense.
It makes absolutely no sense. But I will quote you from our RDF reserves, headed by Yair Fink, who is a major in the RDF reservists, and he says, "We remember very well what happens when the nations of the world abandon the fate of a people, and Israel is a country that has the means to help the Kurdish people, and now is the time to do so, and has asked to provide food, clothing, medicine, intelligence, and military assistance to the Kurdish fighters." Well, I don't know about military assistance, but what we have definitely offered is humanitarian aid, and we can be exceptionally proud of a country that is prepared to do so.
Mm. Just going back to the German story, Gimpel the Fool says, as long as Angela Merkel says that Iran's statement that Israel must be wiped off the map is not anti-Semitic, Germany is not a safe place for Jews. These statements of sympathies are meaningless when we are in a situation that Schulz have to be barricaded in Europe. Long past the time for sympathy. That's from Gimpel the Fool.
Or, as I keep saying, Gimpel is no fool. I mean, we even saw in New York over Yom Kippur that the governor of New York had to call in the state guard to guard synagogues. I mean, when I walked to shul on Wednesday morning, the only thing that I had to worry about here was falling over a skateboard or a child on a bicycle barreling into me. And I thought about this as I walked to shul, how blessed and how lucky I am to be able to go, you know, and return peacefully. And you know, it's really, really sobering that as Yom Kippur came out, news broke that our our compatriots, our co-religionists in the town of Halle in Germany, perhaps weren't as lucky.
Absolutely right, Roline Marks. This is where we leave it. I hope you have a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Sameach. Enjoy the Sukkot in Israel. A wonderful, wonderful festival, certainly in Israel. And
you can't see me, but I'm smiling.
I'm sure you are. Just enjoy, and we will speak to you next week. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman.
Shabbat Shalom.
This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.1, 101.9 Chai FM.